Continuing now in our study of the book of Romans, going verse by verse, we're going to go back and I'm going to start off and reread the last two verses that we had last week, because it kind of leads in to the but now that the begins in verse 21. So I'll start off in verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now, a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong scripture here. Thank you. Well, so why didn't somebody shout and say, hey, idiot? I think what it is first I put the marker in the wrong place. And the second thing is that even our lectionary skips the scripture we have today. Okay? Because it's tough stuff. Okay? It's hard teaching. It's tough stuff. And so the lectionary even skips it. Going back and trying again, starting with verse 18, and I want to go back and read verse 16 as well. Okay, starting in chapter 1, verse 16. The other's pretty good stuff too, though, wasn't it? Yeah. Okay. Hear now the word of our Lord in the correct verse. I, and Paul is speaking here, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. As it was written, the righteous will live by faith. And you can see that's almost the same thing I read in the first two verses of the next chapter. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men were without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. So he's talking about worshiping idols. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossipers, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these things, but also approve of those who practice them. And this is the word of God. Now, one of the reasons that our modern churches skip over this is because it talks about things that make us very uncomfortable, about sexual depravity and the... But it's not all that it talks about. It talks about slanderers, gossipers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastfulness, disobeying parents, being senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. When you sit down to write a letter, do we still sit down and write letters? No. Yes, we do. Well, we may call it an email, but we still write them. When you sit down and write a letter to someone who lives in Florida about, and you're writing to them and giving them advice about how they are to live, are you going to talk to them about how to cope with snow and ice? Not likely. Are you going to talk with them if they're living at on a farm in Florida, which there are many of, great cattle country? Are you going to talk to them about problems in the inner city Chicago? Not likely. Paul is writing this letter to people in Rome. He is writing about what's going on in Rome. He included the things. Christianity has been planted in Rome. Part of God's plan. When Paul, back when he was Saul, when Paul and other people who were persecuting Christians, before Paul had his encounter with Christ, Paul was persecuting Christians, and the Romans were persecuting Christians, and the Jews were persecuting Christians everywhere. Christians fled, just like people are fleeing from Syria today under the persecution from ISIS. People fled. And if you read about this in history, if you read about this in commentaries, you will hear this referred to as the dispersion. So whenever you hear the word dispersion, what they mean is that Christians were dispersed away from the center in Jerusalem to all throughout the known world. And some went to Rome. Now they were later caused to flee Rome, because the Romans were persecuting them. But at this time, when Paul is writing, there is a flourishing Christian community in Rome. And Rome was the capital city. It was the city of the elite Romans who ruled most of the known world in that day. And they were very hedonistic. These people lived for themselves. They lived for their lives. So here you have a Christian, Paul is writing to Christians who are living in the midst of a world that has everything that the Bible tells you not to do in it. It's right there, all around them. And yet the Christian faith is spreading and people are coming to believe. And Paul is telling them that he's giving them encouragement and giving them faith and teaching them that they need to be strong and stay centered and not get taken into this world of sin that is all about them. Can we relate to that? Yeah, we can relate to that. Paul is telling these people that they need to persevere, and he is even teaching them how to reach out to the unbeliever. He's telling them that nature testifies to God. He's talking about how men got off to the wrong start with God, because here they saw this extraordinary world that God created. They see these extraordinary things called trees that grow up out of the ground. They see these beautiful flowers. They see these majestic mountains and lakes. They see birds who defy gravity and fly through the air. And they see rabbits that can jump great lengths and everything, and camels that have been constructed to travel over desert with no water for days and days. And man understands by his nature that this didn't just happen, that it was created. But what Paul's saying is, instead of accepting that there is a God who created this and the evidence is everywhere and all around you and undeniable, they created idols to worship. And in Rome, they worship Zeus and they worship just innumerable gods. That's why the Romans didn't have much of a problem with Christianity until it started to grow too much, because they had lots of gods. One more god didn't bother them at all. And if you only had one god, that was your choice. They didn't care. They built gods because it was evident. It is evident to people that this world didn't just occur, that it isn't just an accident. Even if you go back to look and say, and follow the path of evolution, and follow the path that it teaches us, that it goes back to, that all of the beginning goes back to a mass of immensely dense matter. Who created the matter? It is impossible for something just to be without having been created. And man by his nature know that. And what Paul is saying, that because we know by our nature that this is not a coincidence, it didn't just happen, we know that if someone created the world, they also created you and me. And that makes us uncomfortable. And so to worship God, who is all-powerful, men and women substitute false gods. In that day, they would make a golden calf. They would fashion out of wood a great ram to worship. They would fashion out of stone great figures to worship. And every household had its small treasure of household gods that they would keep in a place in their house to worship. Because you can control these gods The God who obviously created everything that is too big to control, too big to understand. So what Paul is teaching these people as they struggle to spread the gospel, the good news, in a world that doesn't want to hear it, is that they need to persevere because there is no excuse. Just to say, I wasn't raised in a Christian home, is not an excuse. God is self-evident. God is everywhere. The world is too magnificent to believe that it just happened, that it was just chance. Even if you give it 100 billion years, a monkey will not type the Constitution of the United States. Not going to happen. The evidence is clear. We read elsewhere in Scripture when Jesus told the man that if he believed, his child would be healed, and he said, "I believe. Help me with my unbelief." And we can take comfort in that, knowing that each and every one of us, if we're honest, have times of unbelief, of times of questioning, times of wondering, what if? What if I got it all wrong? And Jesus, through this teaching, tells us that that's a normal human way to be. This goes back to this whole idea of sin and rebelling against God. It goes back to even Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve were tempted by the devil. Were told, you know, Eve said to the devil, she said, "God said, don't eat this, or we'll die." And the devil said, "No, you surely will not die if you eat this. God doesn't want you to eat this, because if you eat this, you'll be like God. You will know good from evil." It wasn't wanting to know good from evil that tempted them. It was the statement, "You will be like God." No one likes to be bossed around. I was down in Kentucky this week and visiting my grandson and helping them. You know, I thought all I had to do was haul the washer and dryer and the dressers and the bed down there for them so they could get their mattress that we gave them up off the floor and everything. But I had to also put the bed together and help them install the washer and dryer and stuff, you know. So after a 9-hour drive, we were up until after midnight doing that stuff. But I still had time for my wonderful, beautiful little great-granddaughter, who's almost 3, to boss me around and tell me, "Grandpa, sit down right now. Grandpa, do this." Now, I know she's only 3, but I got to tell you, I didn't like being told what to do. And those of you who were with me over when we were, when those of you who sang with me in the choir for our Christmas cantata, you know, that Debbie was leading this thing, you know, you saw Debbie say, "Bill, you do this, you know, or stop it, Bill, are you running this?" I didn't like being told what to do. I don't like being told what to do. And yet, I worship a God who tells me what to do, tells me when to do it, tells me when I'm wrong, makes me feel so incredibly guilty when I sin, when I don't do what he told me to do. So we can all understand that these people are in there preaching the gospel in Rome, and they're preaching it in a community where the word is, do what you want to do, Be what you want to be. Feel how you want to feel. Anything goes. It's all okay. I'm okay. You're okay. If it feels good, do it. That's the world that these people were preaching to in Rome. And Paul was telling them, no, there is no excuse. They know there is a God. They know that this world is created. They know that they were created by God. There is no excuse. And that's the world we're in today. And that's the world that you have been charged to share the gospel with. You have been brought here to go out and talk to people in a world that don't want to hear it, that don't want to be told what to do, that want to do what feels good, that want to be everybody to say that not only do they want to do what they want to do, they want to be told that what they're doing is good. And it's fine. And it's commendable. And that's who you need to share the gospel with. That's who you need to talk about giving up your sins and repenting and bowing down to the God who created you, who created them. That is what the scripture is about. This is the world that we live in. This is the world that they lived in. And this is the world that we need to share the good news with. Why? Because that's what God has told us to do. He's told us it's not good enough to just enjoy your salvation. It's not good enough to just be happy that you're not like them and that you now see righteousness for righteousness' sake, but you need to share it. You need to tell the good news. You need to share that, and you need to be persistent. And you need to be prepared to really make some people very unhappy with you. You need to be prepared to have it not received at first. You need to be prepared that what you're saying is not what the world wants to hear. But God is king. And when you have a king, you do what your king wants you to do. When you are created, you do what your creator designed you to do. When you are saved, you do what the one who saved you wants you to do. Amen.